sermon that I'm about to give, I actually heard from the Lord during a prayer meeting. God was showing me something. It's something very simple, but I really felt God wanted me to share it. And as God was showing me during a prayer meeting, Pastor Vicky started to speak what God was showing me. And you don't know what I'm about to preach, and I hope you're not planning to preach on it too, because I've got it first, all right? Pastor Vicky has very good spiritual insight, and she didn't know, but she was being prophetic at that time, and she was speaking exactly what God was showing me. And like I say, it's a simple message. It's probably one of the shortest messages I've given, so there's no reason for anyone to fall asleep, is there? You can all listen. Before I begin my sermon, I want you to take a look at this beautiful picture. Have a look at that. This is what you call one joyful baby. He's having a ball in the bath as he discovers what bubbles taste like. He's full of joy because he's expecting nothing less than fun when he's with his mum. There's no fear. There are no regrets. There's no uncertainty. There's definitely no depression. There are no thoughts of failure. His only thoughts are those of pure enjoyment. Have a look. Have a look. He's such a positive little bubble monster. I believe God wants us all to be joyful like this bubble monster. In fact, he's made a way for us to be as joyful as little Harvey. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, give us all an insight into your plan and purpose for our lives. Help us to see and experience the absolute fullness of the joy of our salvation you have given to us. Amen. I read this sweet little story this week. A family during the Great Depression was unable to afford anything but the bare necessities. One day the news came that a circus was coming to town. Tickets cost $1. The little boy came running home excited and eager to get the money from his dad. The father regretfully told his boy that he could not provide him with that money, but if he went out and worked on odd jobs, he might make enough to purchase a ticket on his own. The dad promised to match what the boy could earn. The boy worked feverishly, and just a few days before the circus came to town, he found that he had just enough, including his dad's contribution. He took the money and ran off to town to buy his circus ticket. The day the circus came to town, he grabbed his ticket and rushed to the main street where he stood on the curb as the circus parade went by. He was thrilled to watch the clowns, elephants, and all the performers. A clown came by dancing over to him, and the boy put his ticket in the clown's hand. He eagerly watched as the rest of the parade went by. After the parade, the boy rushed home and told his father that he had been to the circus and how much fun it was. The father, surprised that the boy was home already, asked him to describe the circus. The boy told of the parade that went down the main street and of giving his ticket to the clown. The father sadly took his son in his arms and said, "Son, you didn't see the circus. All you saw was the parade." That boy reminds me of many people at Christmas time. They get caught up with the carols, trees, lights, and gifts. They think that they are experiencing what Christmas is all about. But really, all they're doing is seeing the parade and missing the main event, the true joy of Christmas. I want all of you to know and experience for eternity the real joy of Christmas. The angel announced the source of that joy to the shepherds on that first Christmas night. "Do not be afraid, For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It says, good news of a great joy. Good news of a great joy. The news is about a great joy. Jesus is the news, so he's the great joy. Jesus is our joy. At the Christmas buffet, I preached that Jesus is our... Pardon? Who was that? Wendy, well done. You are up there, I tell you. Jesus is our peace. And because he's our peace, we can have busy good, not busy bad. Remember? Remember? Yeah, cool. Well, guess what? He's also our J-O-Y, joy. But how does Jesus literally become our joy? I'm so glad you asked. Pastor John gave a brilliant sermon last week concerning the church being the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you didn't hear it, you need to listen to it online. He mentioned that true born-again Christians literally house the Spirit of God. Remember? We're his temple, which means our bodies house the Spirit of God. Not this building, not the most magnificent cathedral in the world, not any man-made temple anywhere. God now dwells within his church of flesh, which is pretty cool because he made this. He didn't make the buildings. He made us, the flesh. That was his original plan. This amazing phenomenon enables Jesus to become our joy. The fact that we are his temple. Let me give you a description of the attributes of the Spirit of God who dwells in us. This is a description of who God is according to the Bible. You ready, Jordan? God is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm going to say it again. God is, actually say it with me, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How opposite he is to what we see on social media. What a beautiful God. Who wouldn't want to know such a wonderful spirit? Who wouldn't want to be like such a wonderful God? That is who he is. And if God is all these characteristics, then when he dwells in us, when we house the Holy Spirit, we have this treasure trove of awesome attributes which are ours for the taking. I'm saying that again. If God is all these characteristics, then when he dwells in us, when we house the Holy Spirit, we have this treasure trove of awesome attributes which are ours for the taking. We literally have God's love. We have God's peace. We have God's joy. We have God's patience. We have God's kindness. Yes, you are kind inside. We have God's goodness, so we don't have to speed. We are good. We do the right thing. We have God's faithfulness. We have his gentleness. And we have self-control. We have these in us because God dwells in us. And by the way, God has always been the same. He doesn't change. No matter what happens in the whole of the universe, God is still love. God is still peace. God is still joy. God is still patience. He's still kindness. He's still goodness. He's still faithfulness. He's still gentleness. He still has self-control. Which means that no matter what happens in your life, because God is in you, in your life, you still have God's love. Because God is in you, his love is an absolute constant. His peace is an absolute constant. His joy is an absolute constant. That's why the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ should be the most wonderful community of people on earth. It should. It should. We should be a lot of fun to be around, people, because God is within us and all his attributes are active within us all the time, or at least they should be. Some of you are sitting there thinking, but I don't feel his joy, Pastor Pamela. How do I get to feel his constant joy? I'm frustrated. I'm tired. I feel a little depressed. And I don't feel his joy at this present time. Although you would right now, because we've just been worshipping Jesus. Okay, listen to me now. This, as I said before, is not a long sermon, but all of us need to grasp what God is saying. What I'm about to say is based on my experience as a Christian for nearly 49 years, and of course, more importantly, what I've read in the Bible. If you're a born-again Christian, if God is in your heart, then joy is in your heart. But you must access the joy through faith. The truth is, the issue isn't lack of joy. God's there. It's actually a lack of faith to access the joy. Now, don't switch off, because some of you are going to go, oh, she's going into the mystical thing, faith. Oh, that's just too hard to grasp. Don't switch off. There's not a true born-again Christian on earth who does not have the joy of God in them. And I'm saying true born-again Christian. It's impossible because Jesus is a great joy in us. You don't get miserable Jesus. He doesn't exist, okay? This joyful Jesus. But we have to tap in to the joy by faith. You need to build your faith on a daily basis to access the treasure of joy in your heart. And this is how you do it. You ready, Pastor Vicky? Because she supports this. When I was a little girl, my auntie bought me a little golden wind-up clock with luminous hands and numbers. It looked a little bit like this, but it was a little bit more ornate. Luminous hands and numbers. I loved that little clock. Life was much simpler in the 70s. We didn't have the overload of toys that the children have now. If I got flowery bed sheets for Christmas, I was happy. I was happy with bed sheets for Christmas. Who remember those days when you could give your kids anywhere, anything, and they were happy? I was happy. Well, this little clock made me very happy because it was special. It glowed bright apple green in the dark. And because science was my favourite subject, even as a young kid, I was fascinated by this clock, Daniel. Sometimes before I go to bed, I'd jump on the bed and hold the clock real close up to the ceiling light for a while, and then I'd quickly switch the main light off and lie there watching my clock glow brightly. Does that sound like fun? Yeah. I noticed that the longer I held it to the light, the brighter it was when the main light went off. Okay, who had one of those kind of clocks? Who experimented with it and enjoyed it? Yeah. In the same way, Jesus is the light of the world. His light is displayed by his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his faithfulness, his gentleness, and self-control. This is why Jesus shines, because of who he is, because of these amazing attributes. He's different from the rest. The Bible tells us that we, the church, are now the light of the world. We now get to shine his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, because it's in us. That's why we're the light. But to do this, our faith, which accesses these attributes, desperately needs for us to expose ourselves to his presence. Just like my little golden clock. Our faith needs some serious exposure to God's energy so we can maximize the power of joy in our hearts. We shine brighter in his presence. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, "In your presence is abundant joy," or the King James Version says, "In your presence is fullness of joy." People, encourage your faith. Encourage your joy by exposing yourself to his awesome presence. I have noticed that I have a lot more love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, blah, 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 all the way down. I have a lot more of that. I feel more invigorated in those attributes when I've been in a prayer meeting, when I've been singing worship, when I've been to the Bible study, driving home on Wednesday night. Oh, it's awesome. Do you know why? Because I've been exposing myself to the presence of God in other Christians. We've got to encourage our faith so that our joy is right up there. Even in this busy, silly season, when there's so much to do, just set a little time aside. If you're not doing anything, just set a little time aside to read a couple of verses of scripture, to speak to God, to listen to some good Christian music every day and worship him, if only for a short period of time. When I used to get my clock, even if I went like this and turn the light, it still glowed. It did. Glowed. That's how God works. And get to church every Sunday and excite yourself in him. Who gets more excited when you're worshiping God together? Yeah, it's so cool. Take a little time to have some sweet fellowship with Christian friends and talk Jesus. Talk Jesus. Talk Jesus. I release you to talk Jesus. Not football. Oh, that's over. Not cricket. Jesus. We need to change our habits, don't we, people, and talk Jesus. Yeah, it is really tough. John's feeling it right now. We can become very dull and spiritually boring if we don't expose ourselves regularly to his presence. I've actually said it before, there's times where I've gone on holidays and I'm out of routine and I don't find myself praying as much or reading. You might even skip the Bible one day. By the end of it, I feel really like a balloon that's gone down spiritually. We need discipline. My little clock became very, very dull when it was a long, dark night without any light. I couldn't see the hands or the numbers anymore. I had to squint to read the time. City View Church, grow your faith. Only you can do that. I can't do it for you. I can preach until I'm hoarse in the voice and blue in the face, but only you can grow your faith. God will not force himself upon you. Have you noticed? He's gentle. God in the Old Testament said, come, let us reason together. Come. Jesus in the New Testament said, come, come to me. But he won't force you. He is not a puppet master. Satanic powers are a puppet master. God is not. You have a choice. Christians, come to him on a daily basis and experience his presence, his joy, which gives you strength. There's a lot of joy in this place. There's truckloads of joy in this place. It's in you, it's in you, it's in you, it's in you, it's you. It's all over. If we put our joy together, can you imagine how much it was? There's heaps of joy in this place. Let it out. Let your strange family this Christmas time see it. Does them a lot of good. Particularly if they don't like you and they see that you're really joyful. That stinks. It gets them frustrated. It's true, isn't it? Or if they see you at peace. Oh, if they see love in you and you actually love them. Oh, that's awful. It's great, isn't it? Let them be attracted to God's light in you. Be a bubble monster for Jesus. We used to sing a simple song years ago, years and years ago. And it went something like this. My daughters right now are probably cringing. Not one of these moments again. Mum, you're not going to do it, are you? But I really think it's sad sometimes that we lose some of these songs. And it's up to baby boomers like myself to just share them again, just to keep them alive. Who remembers the song, The Joy of the Lord is My Strength? Go, so let's see if we can do it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 Let's see if we can get it again. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 One more time. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 Okay, so we did that, and then we had to laugh. Can you remember that? Oh, this is going to be hard, because it's really hard finding that tune in the middle of it all. But let's see if we can. This is really good vocally for your voice. Okay, we'll clear all the cobwebs out. Let's see if we can do it. Swallow. Okay, then we go. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, Jackie is laughing her head off at the back. And I don't think it's because she's laughing with the song. I think she's laughing at us. But that's great. I can take that. That's the joy of the Lord in your heart. And we can handle that if we make you laugh. Hallelujah. All right, I think we could do it one more time. Maybe we should get all the young people up singing it. No, because they are laughing. I can see it on their faces. Okay, hear it one more time. Ah, ha, 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 ha. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Okay, I finished pretty early, haven't I? I told you it was a short one. Did you get it?
Yes.
Did you get it?
Yes.
Okay, you got it. Now you got to do it. Yes. Okay, that's the difference, all right? Getting it is great. Now you got to do it. You expose yourself to the light of Jesus. It is so important. In fact, if I was to die tomorrow, I would be happy knowing that I've told you this. Because this is every pastor's dream, that their congregation just expose themselves more and more to Jesus. If you keep doing that, this church will not close. This church will not finish. It will continue. And your children and your children's children and your children's children's children will shine the light of Jesus if they see it in you. Because quite frankly, if you are shining, you rub off on your children. You don't want your kids to think that Jesus is miserable and no fun and full of horrible rules. No, 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 no. You need to shine Jesus correctly to your children so that they want what you've got, because they need what we've got. And so do our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. So people, this is so important, this message. Let's be people who are real with Jesus, not religious. Let's be people of integrity and be what we preach, be what we say we believe. Because as the world gets darker, and we know it's going to, we are going to shine so ever bright. As they did in the early Christian churches when the Romans ruled, it was very dark and there was all sorts of horrible things happening and they were persecuting the church, but the church continued to shine because they exposed themselves to the light of Jesus. So we have to do this. It is more important now than ever before, because the times ahead will separate the sheep from the goats. And I want this church to be full of sheep, not goats. We are sheep. All right, so shine his light. Let's finish this service with, yes, come on up. And
I just want to share something. I think it's perfectly in line with exactly what you preached. Sharing, yeah, the joy and you're sharing your faith. So I've got a colleague at work who's actually been coming to the Christmas function here for the last 10 years, I think. He hasn't made it the last couple of years. And he notices the difference in the community here than anywhere else, because he's from Germany. He actually says he feels it. There's such a separation between the community in the church and the community outside the church, right? And he knows about it. He knows it, and he's just hesitant to come to church, right? I'm working on him. He actually asked me to pray, believe it or not, for a job that we really need. We need to win this contract in New Zealand, right? And he said, we've got to win it. We have to win this contract. It's so important for us for this year. And he goes, Dan, you should pray about it. And I think he was kind of joking, right? He was kind of like, you know, yeah, you should pray about it, you know. And I said, oh, I will. I'll pray about it. I said, I don't normally pray about this, about work, you know, winning jobs. But I said, I will pray about it. And I said, but one condition. If it comes to pass and God answers that prayer, you need to bring your family to church. Yeah. And he said, okay, all right, I will, yeah? And he said, I will. And that was a few months ago. Anyway, so we did win it. Praise God. Yeah. Praise God. Because it was actually looking really bad for us when he said that. It was really, really bad. Like, there was almost no chance we're going to win it. Through the power of prayer, God answered the prayer. We won it. And I completely forgot about that discussion we had, because we're just so fast-paced at work. Anyway, I brought it up with him the other day and I said, do you remember that commitment that you made? And he goes, no. And I said, well, I said, we had an agreement that if we won this job because I prayed, that God answered that prayer, then you would bring your family to church. And he goes, oh, did I say that? And I said, yes, you said that. And he goes, oh, well, okay, I believe you, I trust you, you're a man of your word. If you said that, then that's what I said. So, okay, I will. Does that have to be for a whole year? And I said, well, I said, you know, let's see what happens, right? So next week, he has committed to bringing his family to a Sunday service. Now, we'll see if he holds up his end of the bargain, but I'm really believing and I'm praying that he'll bring his family to church. So I encourage you all to love on him. They have no family here. They've got his partner and his two children. They have no family in Australia. So they're very isolated. So they have friends, but not really close friends. So I just encourage you guys, if they're here, you can't miss him. He's a German guy. You can't miss him, right? Yeah. Please love on him. Love on them, the family. They're a beautiful family. And I really would love them to become a part of this fellowship here. So anyway, that's just share your faith, you know, share it. Just the little things like that can just turn into salvation. So, amen?
Yeah. Hallelujah. We need to sing Joy to the World, don't we, before we finish? We've just got to do it. That beautiful song, Joy to the World. So let us stand as the band comes on up.